This evening, we will turn in our hymnals to song number 96. Song 96, Wounded for Me. That's song 96. Thing we have a song leader that knows how to lead, because I was on the wrong stand today and he was still doing his thing. I'm glad for that. If you don't have a bulletin, just raise your hand if you need one. My son will get one for you. And today's the 16th. Yeah, today's the 16th, right? Today's July 16th. Our services are Sunday morning, 10:30 a.m., Sunday evening, 4:30 p.m., Wednesday service, 5:30 p.m. Our regular soul winning time is Sunday between services at 2 p.m., and then we are done with the Psalm of the Week, Psalm 23:6. I know that you guys are getting some text, and I think we're off on one, but we'll fix that, and I appreciate your patience. I think we sent out a text today that said Sunday services are coming, and so we'll get that fixed as well. But the good thing is you're getting notifications, so that's always a good thing. You will get one more text this week. As a reminder, we are having our soul-winning marathon this Saturday, so I'm excited about that. That'll get us out there. Number one, it'll get people that aren't normally able to do it on Sunday. Number two, I mean, it's just the commission, and that should be number one, right? And also, it just helps us to just potentially get more numbers than we're normally getting on a weekly basis. Obviously, the numbers aren't as important as going out, but the numbers count, right? So year to date, we have 152. God willing, after this weekend, we'll be rounding closer to 200. And then we have the birthdays coming up. Gentry's birthday was, well, it's today. We need to call him. Sorry. We need to call Gentry. Today, Lucy and Enrique, you guys need to remind me. And then, not next week, but I think the week after, we have a bunch of birthdays. We have Aubrey, Mo's younger sister, Lucy, my daughter, Victor, the Matos, Sister Liberty's husband on the 28th, and then Kevin Rogers on the 28th. So everybody's just piled up. Then we have the anniversaries also coming up. The Rogers and the D'Amatos are on the 24th. And then we had the Mirandas on the 15th. I did reach out to Josh, just Josh and Cynthia, and their little baby Elizabeth doing fine. They're just still getting you, which is fine. I mean, usually I think the custom is you try to wait 6 weeks before you go out in public with the baby. With the first one, you stick to it. By the time you get to like the third one, I mean, our third daughter was born on November 6th, and literally less than a month later, we were driving to Alabama for a month and a half for like Christmas, you know. Remember that? It wasn't 2021, but it was 2022. Remember that cold winter that got down to like the teens? We were driving and she was all bundled up like a little, anyways. So it's funny how you change. For the third one, we didn't have any of the fancy stuff. Like you change them wherever. For the first one, you carry everything with you, you know. And then we have the soul winning marathon. And then next Saturday, we just have a church cleaning day. So I would encourage everybody, if you can, to come out. We had one earlier this year. We had a small turnout, and we're always appreciative of everybody that turns out. But if we have a bigger turnout, we can do some major things. We want to do some paint up and touch up. There's a ton there. And then coming up in August, we have the men's retreat with Steadfast Baptist Church on August 14th through the 16th. And then the Fire Breathing Baptist Fellowship, August 27th through the 31st. And then the Mexico Soul Winning Missionary Trip is coming up September 8th through the 12th. If anybody wants to join any of those events, just let me know. We'll work that out. And then Brother Heath was letting me know, what was the name of the individual? You want me? Christina. And the last name?
Longoria.
We'll add her to the prayer list. She lost her son suddenly, and she's still just dealing with the pain of losing a child. I can only imagine. So keep praying for everybody on the prayer list. We are sending those out on Monday, and already somebody did text me, which I actually appreciate, to remove some people and add some people, because that's what we want. You know, we want to be praying for everybody on our prayer list. Hey, guys. We're in church. So we've got everybody there. Is there any other announcements or people we need to add to the prayer list?
You go ahead and help carry Corals off.
Take carry Corals off?
He's
at home. Is he better? Okay. So at least we know that it wasn't life or death. No problem. We'll pray for everybody on the prayer list. If nothing else, turn your hymnals over to, let me just find it here, 51. And then we are going to have Pastor Cobb preach today, so I'll go ahead and I'll read the chapter. We're going to be in Acts 16, so Pastor Cobb, stay on theme. We're going to go back to Acts 16. So there it is, 51, and we'll get Mo to lead us in singing. All right, we're there in Psalm 51. A mighty fortress is our God. Psalm 51. Thank you. Turn in our song binders. Our song binders. To Psalm 126. Psalm 126 in our song binders. We would turn in our Bibles to Acts chapter number 16. We'll go ahead and read and have the offering plate passed.
Turn your Bibles over to Acts 16. Acts 16, we'll read the whole chapter as is customary. And then we'll have Pastor Cobb bring us the message. Acts 16. Go there to Acts 16. We're there in verse 1, where it reads, "Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewish and believed, but his father was Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium, him who Paul have to go forth with him and took and circumcised them because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord hath called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days, and on the Sabbath we went out of that city by a riverside, where a prayer was wont not to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which restored there thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, "If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there." She constrained us. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show us unto us the way of salvation." And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the way of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrate, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open. Everyone's bands were loose. The keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into the house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. And when it was day, the magistrate sent them sergeants, saying, "Let those men go." And the keeper of the prison told this saying to Paul, The magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace." But Paul said unto them, "They have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison. And now they do thrust us out privily? Nay, verily, but let them come themselves and fetch us out." And the sergeants told these words unto the magistrates, and they feared when they heard that they were Romans. And they came and besought them and brought them out and desired them to depart out of the city. And they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for today. Thank you for the opportunity to be here on a Wednesday night. Thank you that Pastor Cobb is still preaching strong. Lord, just give him the words and fill him with your spirit to bring a message
that would admonish us, that would reprove and rebuke us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, brother, for the privilege of being able to stand and proclaim the Lord's word.
Amen.
A fellow asked me a while ago what my message was, the subject was, and I said, which way to heaven? And he said, up. And he's right on, wasn't he? That is the way that you're going to heaven, is right up. Okay, thank you. Get a little water here before we get started. Y'all, forgive me. Well, it's a blessing to be in the Lord's house any time, but especially in today's world. You ever ask someone to directions to a certain place, and they answered, go to the first stop sign here on this street, take a right, go three, maybe six blocks, and then a left, and then go four blocks. And if you see an Exxon station, you've gone too far. That's the way you get some kind of directions. Then you ask another, and he said, I'm headed that way, follow me. And that's the way it is for Christians. We're headed to that celestial city to be with our Lord.
Amen.
For what a glorious day that will be. But I don't have words to explain what's in store for us. And we can't hardly wait, but folk, there's a lot on the table for us. Everything that belongs to our Father. But when we talk about going directions, well, I tell you today, go get your Google map and see which way it carries you. Aren't those kind of inventions wonderful? I haven't conquered that method as well as some people. I rode with our daughter here recently out to Brownville Wood to see her granddaughter and babies. And anyway, she was on that phone, I was on there talking to her, and she didn't have to pick up anything. She just talked. She drove too fast for me. But she used Google Map to access, I guess. A while back, I tried a car out and maybe buying the car. Linda and I got in it, and we cut the key on, and it said, where would you like me to take you? And I had not had that experience before. And I said, Huntington. It didn't take us to Huntington, so you have to be careful. They don't do everything. You got to use your head while you're at it. But if someone were to ask you the way to heaven, what would you be able to tell them? You might say, I don't know of a place like that in these parts. Not in these parts, is it? Would you say, I'm not very good at on directions, so ask someone else? Yeah, they might say, well, I heard a preacher on TV say that you should turn right and go straight. Turn right and go straight. But then I heard that maybe he didn't actually know the way. And the fellow I'm talking about, they buried about 2 weeks ago, who was a Pentecostal preacher, Jimmy Swaggart by name. But I listened to him when he got in trouble back years in the 80s. In the 80s. Y'all might remember, do y'all remember that? Him confessing his sins to the world? Well, I listened to him in an earlier message just to see after he made the big time. And he got up and preached the message. He said, now I know that it's by the grace of God that you're saved, and only grace. And then he stepped over here and says, I actually saw this myself. He said, but you still got to live it. You got to live what? The Lord died one time for our sins.
Amen.
And that's always necessary.
Do you have your phone on you?
I suppose. I haven't touched it.
Let me take your phone from you.
Is that it?
All right. Perfect.
Does that make noise?
Yeah. Don't worry about
apologize.
It.
Apologize.
You're fine.
A good lesson for me, and at least there wasn't 1,000 people here to see a guy goof up. Someone ask again, you might say, well, let me ask my Sunday school teacher or my preacher and have his address, and you can go see him. He can tell you how to get there. A lot of people have done that, haven't they? I'll give you a testimony. I had an uncle that was really lived with the world. He was a worldly guy, but the Lord got dealing with him, and he couldn't sleep at night. He knew something had to be done. So he sent for, and this is way back there, sent for Linda's cousin to come and tell him about the Lord. And he received the Lord and was saved. And by the way, went on to heaven in spite of his worldly years. As everybody has a past, don't they? Now, would you say to someone that asks you, which way is it to heaven? Would you say, well, here's my map. Let me show you what it says. And let's do that. If you have your paper there still, Romans 10, verse 9. Says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture said, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between a Jew and a Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. And then he says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord might be, it says, shall be saved, doesn't it?
Amen.
There's no might to it. If we call on the Lord, well, he saves us. Could you show a lost traveler the way if he needed directions again. Suppose you said to him, I'm headed that way. Follow me. And folks, that's the best answer you could give. If to know the way and know enough about the way that you can lead someone else to believe that way. Years ago, I clipped this illustration out, and it stuck with me. It's a good parallel. But it's a story of Thomas Jefferson, one of our long time ago former presidents. He was with a group of men on horseback one day, and they came up to the river that was raging. It had rained, and it was real high. And there was a fellow among them that had no horse. All the rest of them had horses. So he stood on the bank watching the people as they crossed over one by one. And finally he asked, the fellow said, would you give me a ride? Thomas Jefferson pulled down and said, get on. Let's go for a ride. When they got to the end of the way, as they embarked, they asked Thomas Jefferson about his experience. And they asked a man the experience. And he said, as we were traversing over the river, these men came, each one on a horse, and I looked in their eyes to see what one might say yes. And as they crossed over, Thomas Jefferson, I didn't know he was the president, he didn't apparently at the time. He was baffled that he was the one, he looked in his eyes and he had yes eyes. Yes, I'll give you a ride. And Pope, that's what the world needs to see us as Christians. Is someone that can show us the way and someone that'll go with us on that way, that route. But would you be the person that someone would ask directions to heaven? If you're headed to heaven, you ought to be able to tell someone else how. Jesus was asked the way, wasn't he? Didn't he ask the way? And what was his answer? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That way hadn't changed. He's still the way. He is the door of the sheepfold. The Lord said himself, I am the door. But the jailer asked Paul and Silas while they were in jail. They were beaten, and they were singing praises at midnight when the Lord sent an earthquake. And the earthquake shook the prison. And the jailer asked someone that he believed knew how to get to heaven. The jailer sprang forth and he was going to kill himself because he was responsible for these prisoners that he thought had escaped. Paul said, do thyself no harm, for we're all here. You don't have to die for us. Someone else has died for us. Man, I told him those words, but he told him enough that he got saved. When he told him to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved and thy house. And the jailer believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. But when the earthquake shook the prison, the jailer recognized that Paul and Silas weren't ordinary people that he knew. They were someone that was headed to heaven. Now, the question is today for us, does our neighbor see the love you have for God by your faithfulness? Or does he see by your unfaithfulness? Or does he see you driving around in circles? And then I had a neighbor for a number of years. We've been in that house for 48 years. And next door was a fellow that was a Lutheran some kind of a deacon. I'm not sure exactly what they call himself, but he was a head, at least he led out in a Lutheran church. And he'd see Linda and I leave on Sunday morning. He'd already gone to church and came back. He'd say, "Hey, preacher," said, "I done been to church." He'd been to a Lutheran church. And you say, "Well, preacher, there's some good people there. There's some good people that's lost too. If they don't know the Lord, they're lost." But as Christians, we're to show the way. This Saturday, we've got coming up a soul winning trip. And for God, we hope and pray that many souls will be saved. Amen. That's our purpose. Boy, that's the heart of a church, folk. If you don't have a soul winning program, you forget it, because that's what the Lord set us up for. But we as Christians are to show the way. We should make the directions to heaven plain, even for little children. I'm going to tell you all a story that happened in my ministry years ago. I'm talking about years ago, back in the 60s. The fellow working on the job behind the molding machine, I don't know if you've ever been in a foundry or not, but it's the hottest, driest job that you could have. Well, they get the metal up to 2,400 degrees before they pour it in the sand mold. And this fellow was a molder. He made those molds and out of dirt, sand. I made my way one day over to his stall. There were 14 machines in a row. And I climbed over in and started talking to this fella. He was a little older than myself at the time. I was talking about him and his relationship to the Lord. You know what he said to me? I'll never forget it. He said, "Preacher, you're wasting your time." He said, "I'm lost. I can't be saved. I'm lost forever." He said, "My dad was a Pentecostal preacher, and he told me that I was lost because they believe in living a perfect life after they've been saved. We believe it's impossible to live a perfect life, period." But, folks, there is such a thing as the Scripture refers to as a reprobate doctrine. And that's those that have cast off the truth. But what bothers me is here this man was going on the advice of his father that he was lost, helpless, could not be saved. You ever meet anyone like that? Actually, this is what the man professed. And I was never able to turn him around. But one day by chance, I looked and I saw his burial place in the cemetery where he had buried. And I never knew what had happened after I left the job there after 17 years. But anyway, the sad part of it is the Lord, he can reach further than you think he can. Amen. And folks, I want to give you this story here. It happened during my ministry. A young man, like Brother Moe here, about his age, young guy. He was really on fire. He made a profession of faith, and I baptized him. And a few months later, he came back and told me, he said, Brother Cobb, I got saved again. I want you to baptize me again. Baptism is after one had been saved. I said, okay, and his name was Bobby. Y'all won't know what Bobby because this has been a long time ago. But his name was Bobby. I baptized Bobby again after the church voted to baptize him. A few months passed. Bobby comes to me again and said, Brother Cobb, I just got saved. I said, but Bobby, you told me this twice before. This is the third time. Anyway, it went four times. He came to me. I baptized him each one of those four times. But on the fifth time, I refused. Here was a man confused about his salvation. And he goes here, well, matter of fact, one of the guys he went to hear was Bob Harrington. Some of you may remember the Bourbon Street chaplain who preached over in New Orleans for years and was well known with the Southern Baptist. He had come in with a fireball revival. There's nothing wrong with revival. There's nothing wrong with fire being in it. There is wrong somewhere that along the way that you're not holding the truth or teaching the truth. But I told Brother Bobby, I said, Brother, you're making yourself look bad if you can't make your mind up. And you run across a person like that every now and then, as confused and as hard as you tell them about the Lord, it's their decision to make. We should make the message clear and plain. Christians are headed to heaven. We're going to get there because our Lord died, and that reason alone. Of course, he defeated death. We know the rest of the story. He's coming back again to receive us unto himself. The world is headed to destruction. Focus. Destruction is not in the book for the Christian, for the child of God. We're going to get to dwell with the Lord forever and ever. So I think Brother Hyatt had it right. The best way to tell them which way to heaven's up. But it's through trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that trust alone. All right, may the Lord add his blessings to these thoughts this evening.
Thank you, bro.
Yeah, no problem. Let's turn our hymnals over to page number 94. Old Rugged Cross. On the first. I will cling to the old rugged cross.
is a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. In the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then you'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
All right, you're dismissed.